Harper Audio presents Where the Heart Leads by Stephanie Lorenz. Copyright 2008 by Savdek Management Proprietary Limited. Production copyright 2008, HarperCollins Publishers.
November 1835. London. Thank you, Mostyn. Slumped at ease in an armchair before the fire in the parlour of his fashionable lodgings in Jermyn Street, Barnaby Adair, third son of the Earl of Cothelstone, lifted the crystal tumbler from the salver his man offered. I won't need anything further. Very good, sir. I'll wish you a good night. The epitome of his calling, Mostyn bowed and silently withdrew. Stretching his long legs towards the hearth, crossing his ankles, sinking his chin on his cravat, Barnaby studied the polished toes of his boots, bathed in the light of the crackling flames. All should have been well in his world, but at peace, no, wrapped in blessed peace, yet dissatisfied. It wasn't as if the last months hadn't been successful. After more than 9 months of careful sleuthing, he'd exposed a cadre of young gentlemen, all from ton families, who, not content with using dens of iniquity, had thought it a lark to run them. He'd delivered enough proof to charge and convict them despite their station. It had been a difficult and arduous case. Its successful conclusion had earned him grateful accolades from the peers who oversaw London's Metropolitan Police Force. On hearing the news, his mother would no doubt have primmed her lips, perhaps evinced an acid wish that he would develop as much interest in fox hunting as in villain hunting. But she wouldn't, couldn't say more, not with his father being one of the aforementioned peers. In any modern society, justice needed to be seen to be served even-handedly, without fear or favour, despite those among the ton who refused to believe that Parliament's laws applied to them. The Prime Minister himself had been moved to compliment him over this latest triumph. Raising his glass, Barnaby sipped. The success had been sweet, yet had left him strangely hollow, unfulfilled in some unexpected way. Certainly he'd anticipated feeling happier, rather than empty and peculiarly rudderless, aimlessly drifting now he no longer had a case to absorb him, to challenge his ingenuity and fill his time. Perhaps his mood was simply a reflection of the season, the closing phases of another year, the time when cold fogs descended and polite society fled to the warmth of ancestral hearths, there to prepare for the coming festive season and the attendant revels. For him, this time of year had always been difficult. Difficult to find any viable excuse to avoid his mother's artfully engineered social gatherings. She'd married both his elder brothers and his sister, Melissa, far too easily. In him, she'd met her Waterloo, yet she continued more doggedly and indefatigably than Napoleon. She was determined to see him, the last of her brood, suitably wed, and was fully prepared to bring to bear whatever weapons were necessary to achieve that goal. Despite being at loose ends, he didn't want to deliver himself up at the Cothelstone Castle gates, a candidate for his mother's matrimonial machinations. What if it snowed and he couldn't escape? Unfortunately, even villains tended to hibernate over winter. A sharp rat-a-tat-tat shattered the comfortable silence. Glancing at the parlour door, Barnaby realised he'd heard a carriage on the cobbles. Voices, muted, reached him. It appeared Mostyn was engaged in dissuading whoever was attempting to disrupt his master's peace. Abruptly, the voices fell silent. A moment later, the door opened and Mostyn entered, carefully closing the door behind him. One glance at Mostyn's tight lips and studiously blank expression informed Barnaby that Mostyn did not approve of whoever had called. Even more interesting was the transparent implication that Mostyn had been rooted
Sample complete. Ready to continue?